alive. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me peace from the Father supply. One more time. Oh Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we've come once again, Lord, to have this fellowship, Lord, in your presence, in the presence of the living word, Lord, that you might speak to our hearts, that you might just lead us and guide us in all truth. And Lord, that all those that have that revelation, Lord, of truth, they would be set free, Lord, and set free from all things. Lord, we thank you and praise you. We ask you would just bless each one tonight, Lord, those that are here, those that are listening in, those that are working, whatever. You know every heart, Lord. May you minister to each one. And Lord, as we commit all to you, bless the sick, those that are in need of healing. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Good to see you this evening, each one. We just thank the Lord for to be together again. And we want to get right into the message tonight. I didn't feel like I got very far on Sunday. Sometimes there's just no way to know how far you're going to go. You can, if you counted the words, and I don't, I think there's people that do that. I think they say, well, I have estimated pages. Okay, I have 15 pages and that I want to cover. But then you never know. You don't know. You might read one page. You might read one quote. You might read one scripture. You just never know what the Lord will do. And we thank God for that. And so we want it to be the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so we're depending on Him, trusting Him, that He'll just have His way. So let us just get in. We want to go. I want to start in the Anointed Ones of the End Time. This is a great message. This definitely was revelation. This was something that we didn't know. Something that had been pondered upon. That's something that people wondered about. But it's something they didn't know exactly until this message was preached. And the prophet had been talking about it, and he said that when he was a young minister, and then he visited the Pentecostal, I think he was a Baptist, and he visited the Pentecostal people, and then he seen them speaking in tongues and interpreting and seen those things, and he had never been exposed to that, and he didn't even know that it was scriptural. He didn't understand it, and so, but he did have a gift. He was born with a gift that he could talk to people, and he could know what they were thinking. He would know what he could read their whole life. That'd be something to talk to somebody, and to think there's nothing, you can't hide anything from them. But that'd be something. But that's a gift of God. No, but you can't do that. You can't produce that. You can imitate it. You can impersonate it. You can use this mental telepathy. You can use a lot of different things and get some of it. You can get some things right. You can read people's personalities. You know, they have all of that stuff. And so I never studied it, but it's there. You can talk to people. And what we mainly focus on is the Word of God. Amen. And so you can talk to somebody, and you pretty much know right away their spiritual standing, whether they really know God or they really don't know God. And so That's where a Christian is, because that's their life. And so it just comes natural to them. It's not that you're judging somebody. It's not about judging somebody. It's about understanding. Right. It's about discernment. It's about what God reveals. And so this is a great time when these things opened up and the prophet seen it. So it's relating to what we're talking about. And we're talking about the third stage of his ministry. And so that was preaching to the eternal lost. And this is a part of that. And this is a part of the details and understanding it. So paragraph 141. Oh, the awareness of the Holy Spirit, the awe that strikes a man's soul when he stops to think how real and plain it's right before us. And I've told a few times how that when I seen the message, that's what it was for me. That's right. That's exactly what it was. To think that God, the reality of God, is nowhere near what the world had tried to convince you that it was. That it wasn't about denominations. It wasn't about churches. It wasn't about how much of the Bible you know, or how great intellect, or how much you could understand intellectually, or how many verses you could quote. It wasn't nothing, none of that. No, what happened was the Bible opened up, and you seen the same, you seen in your day the same thing that you read in their day. That they knew the word inside, outside, frontwards, backwards. They could quote it. They could tell you they were above everybody in intellectual understanding of the scripture. But they didn't know who he was. And that's the difference. And that's the awe. That's the awe, A-W-E, that he's talking about. He's talking about when that realization hits you. That you're a nobody. You're just some poor nobody. You just was going along in life. And one day God opened your eyes. And you come face to face with the living God. And you know who he is. You know who he is now. And you're now living your life day by day knowing the living God.
That's right.
And that he's alive and well. And that he's not a silent God. And that he's not asleep. And he's not on vacation. And he's not out there. That he's working a work every single day of your life.
Yes,
and you know it.
Right.
And you're watching it unfold. That it just does something to you.
Yes.
There's a humbleness to it. There's a boldness to it. It just does something to you. And that's what Brother Branham's talking about here. That when that thing strikes you, he said, you dig up that cornerstone out there and read that piece of paper put out there 33 years ago. When they built the church there, when they were setting the cornerstone, they wrote all these things in there and put some things in there, and he's referring back to it. He said, Over yonder on 7th Street, that morning when the cornerstone was laid. And I always thought about that. I thought, 7th Street, you know, that's a special number to us. And it just so happened that the church there was on 7th Street, and because we know what those words mean. And I actually looked it up, and the church, it's on the corner of 7th and Penn. But the address is Penn Street, because that's how the post office does it. Whatever you're facing, or what they decide you're facing. I think the door's facing 7th. But whatever. Anyways, it's on the address is 804 Penn Street. And so when I was reading the other morning, I was thinking about it on Sunday, and I thought, that's great. It's on 7th Street. You know, that means something special. And then I found out it wasn't on 7th Street. It was on the corner. And it's on Penn Street. So I looked up Penn. And Penn, the word pen, P-E-N-N, it means a hill, an enclosure, a summit. So that's speaking of mountains, the hills and summits, and that is complementary to the prophet, because God called him to the mountain to give him the revelation, and his life was always around that. And so all through the Bible was dealing with those things. But the word pen is a what they call back in those days an occupational name. It was they used to name people according to their occupation. Like you might be John the cobbler or John the, you know, what this, that, or the other. It was an occupational name. And so pen, an enclosure, simply means like a pen, like a sheep pen. Mm-hmm. And it could refer to a shepherd of sheep. And I thought, now, that's really fitting. Yes, sir. It's right there. He was the shepherd of the sheep of this last day. He was the pastor. And you know, Brother Branham talked about those things, that everything in our lives, we can see meaning to it. A lot of times people, and that was kind of the point I was trying to make on Sunday, saying that more people believe in the devil than believe in God. The point is that they recognize all bad things being God, but they don't recognize all good things being, I mean, they recognize all the bad being Satan, but they don't recognize what God's doing for them every day, constantly doing for them. It's like you get this thing sometime, you're just thinking, oh, well, it's just chance. You're just, I was lucky. I was fortunate. I was this, I was that. No, God is fulfilling his word. Every day of your life, he's fulfilling his word in your life. And if you have a trial, he has a purpose for that. He has a reason. So, now watch. See, now watch it now. Watch down here on the river when the angel of the Lord came down in the form of a pillar of fire. Hundreds of churches or peoples of the churches standing around on the bank. And what he said, see if it's come to pass. See what's happened. Now, that was in 1933. Is that right? That was 1933. What year was the flood? Somewhere in there. So anyways, so 1933, he's baptizing 500 people, and this pillar of fire comes down, a cloud. He called it the angel of the Lord in the form. In the form. And that's where people have a problem. They don't recognize the form that God is visiting them in. That's right. You heard people talk about some have entertained strangers, angels unaware. Huh? Why? Because that's the form that he came. He came in of the flesh of a man when he visited Abraham. He come in the form of the pillar of fire when he met Paul. He comes in different forms. And that's why it's hard for people to comprehend that he's come today, because of the form that he's come in. They haven't recognized it. They haven't realized that it's him, because Brother M said, your nature don't change. Your nature's the same. If you die, you got the same nature. You're not going to change over when you cross over. No, you got the same nature. Whatever you are right now, you die in 5 minutes, that's exactly what you are. You aren't going to change one bit. Whatever you believe, whatever you think, whatever's in your heart, whatever seed is there, it's the same. So, Brother Rams is challenging the people, and he said, see if it's come to pass. Now, the voice that spoke on that day said, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, you will pack a message that will forerun the second coming. Right. Now, that's the challenge. See if it's come to pass. Study the message and see. It's happened exactly. He brought that message to call the people out of Babylon, to call them out of denominationalism, to call them out of churchism, to call them out of man-made theology, and call them into Christ, the Word. So when you remember when that happened, they asked Brother Branham. The people were standing around, they're saying, what does that mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? He said, that wasn't for me. Right. He said, that was for you. He said, I believe. Now, isn't that an interesting statement?
Yes.
To think that the angel of the Lord appears before thousands of people, and he's saying it's for the unbeliever. That's something in it. Well, if it's for the unbeliever, it's for one of two things.
Right.
Either to make them a believer or to bring judgment on them. One or the other. God was showing that he's alive.
Amen.
That he's a resurrected God. That he's living. That he's there. I know it looks hard. And look where watch where he goes now. Watch where he goes. I know it looks hard. The Bible said, Jesus said himself, it would deceive the very elected if it was possible. He's talking about the pillar of fire. He's talking about the angel of the Lord. And he comes right to this. Jesus said himself, it would deceive the very elected if it was possible. No way around it. They'll never be able to see it. Huh? Is that a matter of fact, clear proclamation? Huh? That's a clear statement. If it was possible, the very elected would be deceived by it. But it's very clear they will not be able to see it. Under no circumstances, they will not be able to receive it. They won't understand it. They've seen the pillar of fire. They've seen the cloud. They've seen the angel of the Lord. Right. That was just the beginning. And it went from there. And they've seen the manifestation. Thousands of times. Any that was in the meeting seen it. Thousands and thousands of times around the world. There was men that followed that prophet all over and they seen it. And they recorded it. They were eyewitnesses to it. Amen. And he said, they'll never be able to see it, understand it. Right. Though they've seen it with their eyes. 142. Notice these fellows appeared after God's true anointed was sent. Now he's referring back to Moses' day. See, Moses, and when Moses would do anything, they would impersonate it. Every time Moses did something, they would impersonate it. See, now brother, sister, this is my own church, and I got a right to preach whatever I want to as long as it's out of God's word. And I ain't condemning you people, but let's just search that for the time and the hour that we're now living. If that happened in Moses' day, then let's just see it today. Let's just look at it a little bit and see, because the Bible's constantly repeating itself. Is that right? And you look at the scripture, and you know there's some scriptures that are, you know, there's some scriptures that we find that Brother Branham just kept repeating. He kept repeating. A favorite one was Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same. Brother Branham would just throw that over and over and over, and he probably said it hundreds of times. He could have said it thousands, I don't know. But there's others. He liked to talk about the woman at the well. He referred to her, said it, would mention it many times, message after message after message. And if you've been paying attention in the last half a dozen messages, there's a scripture that he just keeps repeating over and over and over again. As it was. As it was in the days of Sodom. As it was in the days of Noah. He keeps pointing back. He keeps saying, as it was there, so is it today. Exactly the same thing. It's here again. It's on us today. And then he goes a step further to place it in the scripture that it was promised for this day. And it, as it was there, it's promised that it's going to happen in the last days. That's the promise. See, 144, now just think of it now. See, just for a minute, they did the same miracles that Moses did. Moses brought fleas, they impersonated it and brought fleas. See, think about that. Now, a lot of times we talk about the other side of it, and thanks to the prophet, it used to be people would say they were eating and drinking and marrying and going on like that, and that was our, you know, that was our base level, and that's what all the churches could get, and that's all we had. But then the prophet comes on the scene and he says, as it was in the days of Sodom, God come down in a veil of flesh and visited the elect. We'd never thought about those things. Those things was never real to us. It took a prophet to come along and spot the obvious. And that was the obvious. And then to tell us, and I don't know how long you were in the message where you seen that those two angels that went down to Sodom, that we had two angels that went to Sodom. Didn't we?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. How long was it before? One day you heard him say it and it's like, oh my goodness. They weren't just eating and drinking. The visitation was the same. God come down in flesh and visited the elect, and that the elect was already called out. The elect was already separated from the things of the world and walking with God. And living away from this perversion that we have today. But those two angels went down there and they blinded the people. That's pretty powerful. I don't care how you turn it, it's pretty powerful. Because the people today were blinded by those ministries. And that's exactly what the prophet said. And I'm not saying anything different than what he said. Those two angels that went to Sodom, they blinded the people, the men of the city. They blinded them.
Yes, sir.
And closed the door.
Right.
And we realized what that door was. We realized that door is closed today.
Amen.
That they can't get in now.
Right.
They're blinded to the truth and they can't come in the door.
That's
right. Exactly what happened right there in the natural. That's happening 100% the spiritual today. 100%. The door has been closed. The angel closed the door. God closed the door. And those people were blinded to it. They went after their lust. They went after their perversion. They did not want what God was offering. They did the same miracles that Moses did. And Moses, see, dropping down. God said, the day you eat thereof, that day you die. See? And Satan come along. Now, you know, he's in Genesis now. Satan come along and said, surely you'll not die. You'll just be wiser. See? You'll have a better organization. Have more light. See? Just a perversion. That's right. That's what it is. And that's what it is when people began to justify their wrong or their sin or their lust or whatever they want to do. And they know it's wrong. But when they want to justify it, they'll say, well, this is going to help me. This is going to help me. Like there was a boy who used to live around here. He's in prison now. But he come to church for a while. And he I think you were the one. He was working with us. And all these young men were working with me. And they had him out on a job. And he started something. They were just talking and whatever, and he said, well, everybody sins. And one other thing you said, told him, said, no, I don't sin. He's like, you're crazy. Everybody sins. And he said, no, I don't sin. He said, the Bible says I don't sin. He said, the Bible says I can't sin. And so directly we had an office there in Davison, and so they got back to the office, and this boy comes running in the door. And he sits down at my desk and he says, I got to ask you a question. And I said, what's wrong? And I could tell he was all tore up. And he said, do you sin? I said, no, I don't sin. He said, everybody sins. I said, no. I said, the elect of God don't sin. They can't. I said, the Bible says they can't. I said, I'm just saying what the Bible says.
Amen.
It's been revealed.
Right, right.
It's been revealed. That sin is unbelief.
Yes, sir.
And even though I can make mistakes in this flesh, I can't doubt the word of God. I can't disbelieve this message, and I can't disbelieve this Bible, because there's a seed of life inside of me.
Amen.
And no matter how many mistakes I make, no matter how many faults I got,
amen,
I can't disbelieve.
Amen.
No, that's right.
That's the truth.
That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Satan told us you'll have more light. And that's what people come with, more light. They this is going to help me. Oh, and that same boy, he told me, I said, listen, I said, you can't. I said, do you lie? And he said, no, I don't lie. I said, for any reason. He said, I don't lie. I said, okay. Then I pointed out something that he lied about. I said, well, what about this? He said, well, that was going to help me. I was going to get money because of that. If I said this, they were going to give me the money. And I don't remember if it was something from the government, and that's what a lot of people do when they go to the government. They lie to the government, and then the government gives you stuff. Well, if the government has a program that is going to give you something, then that's okay. That's legal, right? But if you got to lie, if you got to lie to get it, then regardless that you just broke the law, you broke this.
Right.
You broke the word of God.
Yeah.
So he confirmed he wasn't a liar unless it benefited him. That's what Eve thought. This is going to benefit me. Yeah. Satan told her, you're going to be just like God and you're going to know everything. And remember, thus saith the Lord, according to 2 Timothy 3:18. In the last days, that this Janus and Jambres would be on the earth. Is that right? That's the prophecy for the last days. And what was their position? Huh? If those angels went down to Sodom to blind the people, these went down to impersonate. Is that right? This is what they did. They came to impersonate the gift that God sent on the earth. They came to impersonate the voice of God to the people of that day. They came to impersonate the man that God said was going to be God to the people. Is that right? That's what God made him. He said, you're going to be God to the people. And you're going to have a prophet, and you're going to tell your prophet what you want him to tell the people. And these two guys are going to come and impersonate your ministry and your gifts so that the people will doubt you. That's something, isn't it? Is it prophesied for this day? Absolutely, 100%. See? Now, I want you to notice there's two of them, see? Impersonators. Now, we're going to get back to Sodom after a while, see? Them threes, we find them three angels that come down and see the impersonation, see? And so forth, and see which is right and wrong, see? See? That's right. Notice, they did the same miracles, but notice they impersonated after the true word had been anointed. When did they do it? After the true word had been anointed. Once God anointed his word to go forth and say, thus saith the Lord, this is what it's going to be. Then they come and they impersonated that. See? They impersonated after the true word had been anointed by the true one that God had sent and followed secondarily. See? And if I wonder if we could think just for a minute now, think, listen to this now. He's going to bring it to today, and he's going to bring it to the gift that God gave him. God gave him a gift in his hand that if he took any person by the hand, he would know if they had a germ disease, he would know what it was. There would be a different type pulsation for each disease, and it would tell him what was wrong with that person. And then if he prayed for him, he'd take him by the hand again, and if it was gone, if nothing showed, he knew they were healed. That was a gift. Huh? So now he's talking about that gift. See, taking the people by the hand not long ago, about 20 years ago, and a sign showed. And boy, there were more signs all over things. Everybody, one has got it in his right hand. One has got it in his left hand. The other one smells it. See, all kinds. There's all kinds of gifts just everywhere. And if you could go back and study the ministries of the early 1900s through the 20s and the 30s and the 40s, and you would see these things taking place. And you would see all of these different ministers with different kinds of gifts and that. And then come those fake ones, you know, that hooked a wire to the tub and, they're just out there for the money grab. See? And now I wonder, God won't let me tell you at this time what was really the truth. Huh? But one day you're going to find out that was just to make their folly manifest. Huh? Now, he's saying he's not going to tell us, but he sure sounds like he come really close to telling us with this statement. But it just comes with more detail. That was just to make their folly manifested. Oh, yeah. And that's why the Word of God comes. And that's why these angels come. That's why the ministry comes. To make their folly manifest. That's why Brother Branham didn't fight him.
Right.
That's why he didn't argue with him. That's why when the impersonators came, he just patted him on the back and said, God bless you. God bless you. But one day you're going to find out that was just to make their folly manifested. That wasn't right at the beginning. Huh? Why wasn't it right? If we're all working for the kingdom, and all these great gifts, everybody's doing something, doing this, doing that. He said it wasn't right. We didn't need two Moses.
Right.
We had a Moses.
Amen.
We had a gift sent from God.
Yes.
We didn't need 10 gifts sent from God to confuse the people, to try to vindicate 10 different voices.
Amen.
Because the gift was to vindicate the voice.
Right.
That's what the gift was for. To vindicate the voice of God. And so the impersonators are now discrediting the voice of God and drawing the people to themselves. That's it. That's what they're after. That shows that it's Satan. And he's saying it wasn't right at the beginning. And I'll tell you one day, if the Lord permits. See? Notice, they did the same miracles. See? They didn't do it till after the original word went forth first. And that's the way Satan done in the Garden of Eden. All right? That's the way he done all the time. All through the ages, all through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament, all through this last days. That's the way Satan operates.
Yes, sir.
But God's is first. They are impersonating what God is doing. They're trying to take away from what God is doing. They had it in Jesus' day. You remember one time when they were wanting to come after Jesus, and one of the priests told him, said, listen, if this is of God, you don't want to be found fighting against it. And he said, if this is not of God, it will come to naught. It's not going to go anywhere. He said, you remember the guy who rose up and gathered 400 people and said they went out into the desert and they died? Sound like Paul Jones. No, Jim Jones. Jim Jones. Huh? And different ones. Huh? They had the same spirits back there, the same impersonators back there.
Right.
The same thing today. They didn't do it till the original came first. That's the way Satan done in the Garden of Eden. See? Who prophesied first? Moses. Who come on the scene first? Moses or Balaam? Moses did, see? Who come on the scene first? Jeremiah or Hananiah? See? You see what I mean? That's right. Impersonators. Notice they copied. Carnal impersonators, sincere, thinking they're doing God a service. That's right. There's the sad part. There's the scary part. That they believe that they are the true servants of God. That they are the true messengers of God. As David last week, see, when he's preaching, trying to do God a service without it being his will. But carnal impersonations. I'm just waiting a minute. I want you to think. He's not got off about this, you getting this, what he's talking about. And God revealing it to you. I'm just waiting a minute. I want you to think between these places. If I don't say it, surely the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. Especially to the elected, see? Now, he's done told us that it was impersonators. He's done told us it wasn't right from the beginning. He's done told us it was there to make their folly manifest.
Amen.
So what's that for? Is that going to make the unbelievers or the nominal world to see that they're false? No. It's going to let you see that they're false.
Yes, yes.
It's going to let you recognize that they're false.
That's right.
Pharaoh's denomination says, we have man that can do the same thing. And they did it. See? Why did Pharaoh do this? Why did God permit it? Isn't that a great question? Why would God send a true anointed prophet down there to perform a sign before Pharaoh? And then let a denominational copycat come around and copy it before the people.
Huh?
Why would he do that? I'll tell you. You want me to go ahead and tell you why? He's fixing to tell you why. Because the word of God has to be fulfilled. Because in the mind of God, God already had it all planned out exactly how it was going to be, exactly how he was going to deliver the people, exactly how he was going to set them free. And those, and the ones that were going to come out, and nobody else. You just think, if God hadn't hardened Pharaoh's heart, there might have been some of those Egyptians leaving with him. Huh? This was so great. This was so wonderful. This was so powerful what God was doing. It would make me want to leave Egypt and join with these people. Why did God permit this? Why would God send a true anointed prophet down, perform a sign before Pharaoh, and let a denominational copycat come around and copy it before the people? Why would he let an imposter rise up and do the same thing? Exactly the genuine Spirit of God done. Why would he let him do it? See, the scripture must be fulfilled.
Amen.
That's right. Pharaoh's heart had to be hardened.
Yes, sir.
That's right. And as long as he had some guys that can impersonate that, they're trying to take the supernatural out of it. They're trying to take God out of it. They took God out of it right to their death.
Amen.
That's right. That door was closed.
Yes,
now, that was another one that was going to be closed in the wilderness.
Yes,
because Jesus said, and they're everyone dead.
Right.
But they went right on, didn't they? They crossed the Red Sea.
Yep.
They did. They walked right. They followed the prophet. They went right on, right on. And they come right to Kadesh Barnea.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the judgment.
Yep.
And that closed the door. That closed the door. And that door kept closing through the ages. It kept closing. And that door closed in this day.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, God is no longer in the church.
Amen.
He's no longer in the church. And in the Easter seal, Brother Branham said, he was talking about that, and he said, we have come out. We have come out of that. We've been caught up. We've been resurrected out of that. He said, it's a resurrection. And he said, you're growing in it. See, notice 151, he did this so that he would harden the heart of Pharaoh and the Egyptians to prove that Moses wasn't the only one that had the word of God. They could do everything just the same as Moses could do. Now, I imagine it was pretty hardening to think that the firstborn of all of Egypt died. That would be pretty bad, wouldn't it? And the scripture said there wasn't a house. Every house, there was wailing and crying. They could do everything just the same as Moses could do. And why did God let this thing happen in the last days? Why did God raise up this gift and then all these impersonators flocked to it? Why would God allow that? And then it just caused doubt around the message. You remember them coming to Jesus and saying, Lord, why do you talk to them in parables? Why don't you speak plainly? Huh? Why do we got all these impersonators? Right. To harden their heart, to fulfill the scripture. The scripture said in this last days that they would be rich and increase with goods, and that they would think they know everything and they understand everything and they have great revelation and they know the Bible. And it says that they would be miserable, blind, wretched, naked, and they would not know it. They would not know it. That's a prophecy for this day.
Amen.
For the seventh church age.
Right.
See? Why did God let this thing happen in the last days? The same thing as the lying spirit said to Zedekiah. How are you going to get Ahab out there to make these things come to pass? What? God already had His word. God had His word set. And He had been revealing it through the prophets and saying, this is what's going to happen. And so now it comes time that the word's got to be fulfilled. And God already knew. He already knew how He was going to do it. But Brother Branham is dramatizing it. Saying, okay, now, like, you know, like we would be trying to make something work. He said, now, this is what it says we need to happen. Now, how are we going to make it happen? He said, we'll just get a lying spirit. We'll just have the devil send one of his, or have a lying spirit come down and prophesy contrary to what the true prophet has said. Huh?
Yep.
And then they're going to believe it, and they're going to get, that's going to make Ahab go out there to battle, and he's going to die.
Yep. That's right.
And then the dogs are going to eat his blood. And I'm going to send my prophet down here, and he said, I'm going to have some believers in that palace up there.
Yes, sir.
That don't like the job they have, that they're being forced to do. And my prophet is going to say, or Jehu is going to look up there and say, is there anybody on the Lord's side?
Amen.
Throw her down.
Yep.
If you're on the Lord's side, prove it.
Right.
Throw her down. And they couldn't find anything to bury.
Right.
The word of God was fulfilled. See, the same thing as the lion spirit said to Zedekiah. How are we going to get Ahab out there to make these things come to pass? See, right back again. The scripture has to be fulfilled. How is he going to get these people trusting in their churches, see? In their 400 prophets, in their 450 prophets. How are they going to get them to trust their church in this last day? To get out here and let this thing come to pass that he predicted, see? Prophecy in the last days. How are they going to do it?
Right.
See, they, in this Laodicean church age, because thou sayest thou art rich and have need of nothing, I said as a queen, see, have nothing, knowest not that you are miserable, wretched, blind, and I counsel thee to come and buy of me. He said of oil and gold. See, why did he do it? That's right. Why did he let this impersonation rise up? In the last days, when these things are coming to pass by the true word of God, and let impersonators come up and do the same thing and deny the true word of God. He did it for Moses, and Pharaoh did it against Moses, and those Jannes and Jambres did it against Moses. See? And the Bible said that it'll repeat again in the last days.
Yes, sir.
Has it done it?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Absolutely, 100%. It's done it. Oh my. Now if that ain't scripture fulfilled, where is it at? See? And did Moses fuss at them and say, here, you can't do that. I'm the only one been ordained to do that. No. No, the true man of God's not going to do that. But I've heard the make-believes. I've heard the imposters. I've heard them do that.
Yep.
They don't want anybody on their ground. Yep. They claim this ground. This is their domain. This is their ministry. Everybody within their boundaries No other, you can't come talk to them. You can't come preach to them. These are off limits. These are mine. No, they're God's. They're God's. He just let them go. Let them go on. There came a time in this revelation, in your life, that it became real to you that you can't argue anybody into this message.
That's right.
You can't convince anybody.
That's right.
No, you can't. No, you can witness to them. You can give them the word. But it's a reality that God has placed in this last day,
right,
that revelation comes from God alone.
That's right.
Now, we can be fervent. We can be zealous. We can be a lot of things. And we can really put the word out there. But we know that when somebody's fighting it, we're not going to beat them by argument. Brother Branham said, Satan is the best arguer you ever met. You'll never beat him in an argument. You'll never beat him. See, remember the Bible said, as their folly was made manifest, so will these in the last days be made manifest. When the bride is raptured and taken into the sky. That's right. Notice, that's right. See, that's when these things happen. There's so many things in this message that we need to make a list, but you're hearing it constantly, that are built around the rapture. The rapture happens, this happens. The rapture happens, this happens. The rapture happens, that happens. And the thing is, without the revelation of what the rapture is, then you're confused. You're confused. Because you already see these other things have happened.
Mm-hmm.
They've happened.
Right.
Over and over and over. The things that he's told us.
Mm-hmm.
See, Moses, the true manifested word, never said nothing. He just let it go. But he did that so he could harden the heart of Pharaoh. Deceive Pharaoh.
Right.
What? Yes. Just like he sent those lion spirits.
Yes, sir.
He did the very same thing so he could deceive Ahab. And that one little guy standing there by himself, little Micah, telling them, thus saith the Lord. Here stood another one, anointed. Thus saith the Lord. And contrary one to the other. Oh my. Isn't that amazing? There was something in there that I missed. And I don't know if I can find it. But I meant to... He was talking about what the true Spirit of God was doing. But this other group was motivated by the wrong spirit. Their motivation was the wrong spirit. But the word, just as in this last day, the Spirit of God is anointing them with the word, with the Spirit, with gifts, with these different things. And then they be a false teacher of the word. Their motivation is wrong. They have the wrong seed in them. They have the wrong life. They have the wrong desire. They have the wrong everything. They miss it. Sorry, I missed that when we went through there. But if you can read through there and... All right. Who do you say this is? What time is this? 8:15? All right. Just bear with me here a little bit. Paragraph 13. Now notice now, the woman here represents the future denominational church called the bride. It all come up in Genesis. It's a seed. And you start in Genesis and you'll get your picture straight, see? And here she represented the church of this day Because some says, now we take Presbyterians, Lutherans, all of them coming around, these businessmen and so forth. See, we want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We like to get it, see. And we talked about that on Sunday. We talked about how that Spirit let loose in this last day to that they all began coming wanting the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so the problem is, even if they got the baptism, and he's talking about them coming for the real thing, but Brother Branham said that Luther had justification. Wesley had sanctification. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Pentecost had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Is that right? That's the same thing they had on the day of Pentecost. They had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What did Brother Branham say the difference was today? Now, sometimes he called it the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He interchanged the words. That's true. But when he laid them out, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost itself.
Right.
Not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost itself.
Right.
That was the difference in Pentecost and in this day.
Yes.
And in the bride. It is the literal life of Jesus Christ now living in the people.
Amen.
What we thought they had didn't come until this day.
Right.
What they had was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they had it upon their spirit. That's what Brother Branham said. They were anointed with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
The problem was the true and the false was anointed with the Spirit of God.
Yes.
And so it still came down to the seed. It always comes down to the seed. Came down to the seed in every age and all the way back to Genesis with Cain and Abel. It came down to the seed. One had it and the other one didn't have it.
Amen.
See, do you realize the day that we could be in? See, it could be that they never get it. Do you know Jesus said when the sleeping virgins, now remember the sleeping virgin come to call for oil. It was all sealed out. Huh? She didn't get it. She never got it. Do you realize that after the bride is done gone, raptured into heaven, churches will still go on, people thinking they're getting saved and everything just like they always did.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Now, with this, he's made these statements over and over in a dozen places in the last several messages that we've ministered in. I know you know. So, I know you know. So, but what he's showing us is just like when the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell.
Yes.
And he's seen Abraham, he's seen Lazarus. He's seen Lazarus and he said, just a drop of water, just a drop of water. And he's seen him in the bosom of Abraham. And he was told that there was a great chasm that could not be crossed. And that's what he's telling us today. And that's what we're recognizing. There is a chasm. There's a chasm that can't be crossed. That door is closed. They're not able. There's no way for them to cross that chasm because where you are, you got here by revelation.
Yes.
That's how you got here. Because God revealed to you His presence.
Mm-hmm.
He revealed to you His word. He revealed to you the day and the hour. He revealed to you the rapture. He revealed to you the resurrection.
Yes.
He revealed to you that you are a son or a daughter of God.
Right.
Now all of that only comes by revelation. Right. Now there's millions of people speaking it with their intellect, saying, I am, I am, I am, I'm this and I'm that. But by revelation, when it comes by revelation, then you know that it's something that God has done.
Yes, sir.
And that is God, something that God is doing. So it's a chasm they can't cross over. Continue just like it was in the days of Noah. They went right on eating and drinking and everything just like they always did. They didn't know it, but the door was closed. That's right. They closed the door. Those angels, they closed the door. And they blinded their eyes. And they went right on thinking they were okay. They went right on in their sin. They went right on in their folly. Continued right on until the fire fell. Could it be, friends, that the door could be closed at any time? Maybe already, for all I know. We don't know. No, he's already told us. We know, and we know when. We know how. We know why. They don't know, but the bride knows. The bride knows. There's just going to be a few of them go in. We know that. As it was in the days of Noah, wherein 8 souls were saved. So shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. There'll just be a few souls saved. I don't say 8. See, it might be 800. It might be 8,000. See, I don't know. 8 million. I don't know. But you see, the bride's not going to be made up just what this little group's here on earth now. When the seventh watch, when he came, all those virgins raised and trimmed their lamps. All the way back, every one of them that believed the anointed word down through the age. And they came forth. See, they come forth, but the headstone had to come to pick the whole thing up to make a pyramid. Is that right? And that's what it is. It's come to the headstone. That's right. And he's come to gather it all up. That's where we are. See, he's made the claim. He took the book. He made the claim. It's all his. Now the bride will be made up of all those through the ages that's believed and has accepted Christ as their Savior. Like the pyramid, the bottom part, and come on, that's right. That's right. All right, now, I got a good quote right here in the Easter seal. I'm not going to read them because it'll take you to 9 o'clock, but you can read them. Really good, and I might read it on Sunday, I don't know. But let me just read one. That be okay? Yeah. I'm kind of like Sunday. I don't like to keep you long on Wednesday because I know it's a work day. On Sunday, I've been getting guilty of going more, but it's just like there's this burden to get it out there, Brother Goomba. And I thank God for people that love the Word and that want the Word and that God is revealing Himself too. That's what He's doing. He's revealing Himself. And so I was reading a quote earlier today, and it just, Brother Ram was saying that when the Holy Spirit accepts you, and that's another revelation for this day. All these 2,000 years, people are being saying, I accept Christ. I accept God. I. And we just found out there's him.
That's right.
He accepted us. He looked down and he said, your seed, my seed is in you.
Amen.
And I've accepted you. And now I want you to come forth and walk with me.
That's right.
It's what he did.
Amen.
That's the beauty of this last day. Now the whole thing's open. Now you can really see God. Now you can really see predestination. Now you can really see true justification. Now you can really see these anointed ones at the end time. Now all these things just open up and become reality. And it's just so beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. 141 again. How many Presbyterians, how many Methodists, how many Baptists in the world today? How many Pentecostals that knows the truth and afraid to make a stand on it? See, I'm persuaded to wonder, what was that fail on you, huh? You say you got born again. You say you received the Spirit. I wonder what fell on you. Huh? Are you a part of His resurrection? Would you dare scream off for some man's theory or idea? Have you got the real boldness, the real manhood it takes to stand and call right, right, and wrong, wrong? Are you a part of His resurrection? Are you a part of it? Huh? Because the Word is resurrecting.
Yes, sir.
And if the Word's in you, you're a part of that resurrection. Because that Word is resurrecting. And it's bringing to life. And it's bringing to vindication. It's bringing forth the proof that Jesus Christ is alive. and living in His bride. Are you a goer to church? Do you have your name on there? Dead in sin and trespasses. He that believes not the full word of God is a sinner. See, that's the difference right there. It's not the 99%. There's millions of them. Millions of them believe 99%. It's the full word. It's those that believe the full word of God. Those Pharisees believed in many things to be the truth. They said, we are God's children. And they were, until the word was preached. Until the vindicated word of their day was made manifest. And they were looking at Him standing there. And they didn't believe Him. They didn't recognize Him. Then they became sinners. All that time, all this time, they're saying, we believe Moses. We believe Moses. We believe this sacrifice, that sacrifice. We do this and we do that. They were believers. And then came the word of their day. Standing there looking at them. Saying, I'm the truth. I'm the light. He that believeth on me. Huh? See, and they were. We are God's children, and they were until the word was preached. But when the word was preached and vindicated, then they became sinners. Huh? What did it? How could they? Because they doubted the word. They didn't know the word. They didn't recognize the word. That's right. So, for rejecting the thing that they knew was right, and they witnessed that. We know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man could do the things that you do without God being with you. Oh my. They know this message is the only thing that fits together, that laces all the way through the Bible. All the way through the Bible. See? And seeing the hour that we're living in, we need an Easter in the church. Resurrection. See, we need a resurrection to power faith. Men and women to stand out for that which God's vindicated word. That's right. We talk about that. The power of the resurrection. The life. See? So, dropping down there to somewhere. But if you'll get in the... It's okay, brother. I'm almost done. I'm hanging in there. But if you'll get in the right atmosphere there, it'll hatch eagle if you're an eagle egg. See? And if you were ordained of God to see it, you can't help but from seeing it. You're coming forth in a resurrection, see? That's the way the Baptist was born. That's the way the Methodist was born. In a resurrection of that day. But they turned off to a hen instead of an eagle. That's the problem. That's what Israel did. That's what they did in Jesus' day. That's what the Pharisees did and the Sadducees did. Now he's bringing it up to our day. And that's what the Baptists and the Methodists and the Pentecostals, huh? With all of their anointing, with all of their gifts, with all of that, they turned off to denominationalism. 188, his Messiah, anointed ones, believe that. What is the Messiah? What is the Messiah, huh? Messiah is anointed one. And now if he was the Messiah, by being the anointed one for that day, to fulfill the word of God, to be the Redeemer, the anointed one, see? And God raised up that body. His bride is the anointed one for this day. It's already raised. Who? The bride. Already raised with him in the resurrection. Because these two are one. All of David's 500 was his wife singular. David didn't have two until he took another man's wife. He had 500, was his wife singular. Right. Amen. 190, the resurrection. We are now in the resurrection. We are now sitting with him in the resurrection. Amen. But only those who have life, not those who don't have life, they won't know it. That's what Brother Neville said in that quote that was so astounding to Brother Branham. That once the Spirit of God is pulled from the earth, where is it? Huh? Where is it? They don't have it because he's not in the church. He's in his bride. And that's what he's saying. He's in his bride. That's the only way you're going to find him. That's the only way you're going to see him. See? They won't know it. They'll never know it. They'll go right on thinking they're getting the Holy Ghost, being saved, and the rapture will be done and gone. Just as it said, Elias has come already, and they did that way, and you knew it not. That's right. Praise be to God. We'll stop. We'll give it to you right there. You're right dead on the money, 8:30. So may God bless you so much. His word is true, and it is powerful, and it's alive, and it is living, and it's living in you.
That's right.
And so we thank God for that. We're going to ask Brother Goomba to come, and may the Lord bless you. Remember those that aren't here. Bless you, brother. Are you feeling bad?
Yeah, I'm good.
Oh, God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you. I just covered my mouth because I think I have some cold. I don't want anybody to get some cold. I was sneezing. I think it's allergies or something. I'm not sick. I'm feeling good, but I didn't like my breathing. Yeah, and that was good. And that's a very good picture. It tells you why. Now you can know. You can see why things are the way they are. You're not going now. God is opening it. God is opening it very well. And that story is very good about Zedekiah. You remember that's the story. It's a very good story. You can read it. The story of we call him Zedekiah. You call him Zedekiah. Is that right? Zedekiah. He had 400.
Yes.
Yes, Zedekiah. Yes. This is Zedekiah, the son of Kenana. Is that right? No. The son of Kenana in the Bible. Eh? Yeah. You know him. And he had 400 of them. And there was a question, Brother Joe. Why? Because that time, the way you'd know a prophet is if this prophet prophesies the same thing, if they prophesy the same thing, and how you do it is not asking you what you say. You've got to say what you say. So they are hidden somewhere in the room there, and each one, 400 of them, one of them is called, come. What did you say? What did you say? Are we going to go to Ramoth Gilead? Ramoth Gilead. Is it called? Ramoth Gilead. Ramoth Gilead. Ramoth Gilead. Ramoth Gilead. Okay. Is it ours? Are we going to fight? And he would say, this is what is going to happen. And he says, word for word. Next. 400 of them saying exactly the same word, the same word, the same word. And it was a lie. It was not true. So the king, Ahab, had to believe it. 400. And they have not told them. They are hidden. Come. And they are saying the same. So, why? Now we know. Because God, and in fact, they called him Micaiah. Micaiah. Is Micaiah? Have you called him Micaiah? You read him in the quote today.
Micah.
You called Micaiah. You know, there's Micah and Micaiah. I don't know how you pronounce it. I don't know who put the difference. They called Micaiah. Micaiah, come. Tell us. He says, okay, if you want me to tell you what they said, okay, I'm going to tell you. Just go to Ramoth Gilead. He said, you didn't say, thus says the Lord like them. You didn't say, thus says the Lord like them. And he said, I can't say that because it's not the Lord who has told me. I'm just saying like them. but if you want to say, for me to say what thus says the Lord, give me just a day. Mm-hmm. And he head there and he talked to the Lord. Amen. And he came back and said, this is thus says the Lord. Don't go. And I have asked, you mean that? And take, and he said, the Lord, thus says the Lord, I've seen my children of Israel scattered like sheep without a shepherd. Amen. So let them all go back home. And he looked and said, he says, how can you say that? And 400 of them said, one by one, saying exactly, how can you say that? He says, I went to heaven. That's a very good story. I went to heaven. He's a prophet. He went to heaven. He was able to go to heaven. And there was a meeting in heaven. I don't know whether you have read that story. And there was a meeting in heaven. And God called all the people, everybody. He called all the angels. And they come. And he was asking a question. Who are we going to send and lie? God wanted, that's very good, brother. God wanted Ahab to be lied to so that he's going to die.
Yes.
So who are we going to send? And that's exactly now you can know. Why we have so many churches around here? They are saying things that's not the message of the hour. They look like they are bigger than us. They look like they are doing better than us. They have better congregation. They have everything they want. They are praying for the people. And I don't know whether they are getting prayed for. And it looks like that's where God. It really looks like that's where God is. Why? Why? Now we know. Now we know. Now we know. Why were these people speaking lies? He said, "I went to heaven, and Brother Joe, I had a Hazel God had a meeting, and he asked, who are we gonna send to go and lie to Ahab so that Ahab can go die, and his blood can be licked by dogs like Elijah had prophesied? Who can we send?" God asked that question, and everyone should come and say, "Ah, me, I'm gonna get Gabriel. Come, I can do it." And he experiences, "No, you can't do it. You're not a liar. You can't do it." Just in the story of the prophet gives. And there was another one, and everybody came. And there was a wrong spirit, a spirit of the devil, came before God. And he said, "What are you going to do? I'm going to enter. This is what I'm going to do, God. I'm going to enter into every prophet of Baal, 400 of them, the declarer and them. I'm going to enter them. And they're going to speak one thing, and it will be a lie. Each one of them, that's why they were called, come. Because they have that spirit of lying. They come and say it. They come and say it. And Ahab believed it. It was a lie. Why? God wanted Ahab to go. And Ahab went. And he took Micaiah and said, "I'm going to put you in jail and give him the bread of bitterness." You know, beat him until I come back home. And Micaiah turned around and saw him go and said, "If you come home, God did not send me. It's thus says the Lord, you're not coming back." And he said, "Who?" And he went. When he went, he died. And the dog licked the blood of Ahab. And that's a very wrong story, but it's a very good story. But now we know why. We know why he went. God wanted him to go. God wanted Pharaoh not to let him go, to show his greatness. Praise be to God.
Amen.
That's how God works. And brother, just one quote. I'm not reading, but just one quote. Do you remember when he had 72 of them, 72 disciples?
Yes, yes.
All following him. And he said, "You must eat my bread and eat my flesh." And all of them went. Did you know that prophet said he said that purposely so that they can go?
Right.
Yes.
And so he said that purposely. He said, "Why do you talk like that? Why do you talk like that?" Because he wanted there are people here on earth. They'll believe the message. You see them, they're very good, they're churches and they're good, but God don't want them here. They don't belong here. Why? Why? God has not put something there in them. They are very good, they're everywhere, they're very good, but God has not put something there. Remember them who came to Jesus Christ and asked him, "Why do you speak in parables?" He said, and in parable you don't talk to them. He said, "I talk to in parables so that hearing, they can hear. Looking at the message, reading the message, they can read. They can read. They can read the message. They can read the quote just like us. Reading, they can read. Hearing the truth, they can hear. But they will never come to understanding. They will never have. But you people, whether now you don't understand it or not, God has put something there.
Amen.
That is why that's why you're looking for it. That's why you're just humbly looking for it. You're just looking for the truth. You want this revelation, that's all you want. Why God has put something there. That's the difference between you and the rest of the world. But those quotes are very, very good, brother. I'm going to read them again. I'm going to go back there again. They are very good. We know now why. We know why. Why is it like that? But there's only one place. There's only one place. In Jesus' time, there was only one place. That is Jesus Christ when he was here on earth. Now there's only one place. The message of this age.
Amen.
The rapture. He has come. He's here. That's where he's at. Nobody else can see it except those that have been given something here in him.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, physically, we are not worth it. By the standards of this world, we are not worth it, Lord. But by thy grace, Lord, you chose us. You found that it is us, Father, that you want. And Lord God, the unworthiness of the world didn't bother you, Father. But you picked us, Lord God, from everywhere, Father, that we were in and brought us further and chose us. Just like I say that the Israelites were murmuring and asking you, why do you say you love us? Why do you say you love us? And you're just like anybody of the world. You're just like any other country. But he looked and turned to them and said, my love is not like that. My love is like this, that I've chosen you. Not only that, I've put my seed in you. I've called you my child. I've called you my people. That's my love. That's the way I show my love. And that's exactly what you've done in this hour. You've shown us the love, Lord. You've opened these things to us, Lord. You put something in us, Lord God. We know, Father, for sure, Lord, but Father, that we belong to you. We know where we belong. We know that you are our Father, that we are your children, that we are your bride, that you are married, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for these things. Thank you for opening yourself to us, Lord. Thank you. We commit ourselves to you, Father. We want to serve you better, Father, because when much is given to somebody, then much is required of them. Now, you require us, Father, to manifest you here now. Help us, Father, to surrender. Help us, Father, to give ourselves to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.
Amen. Amen.